necessary punitive measure after the regime's deadly attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria. Iranian generals in recent days have warned Israel against making another mistake. Iran says the response to any new Israeli acts of aggression will be considerably stronger. Many observers believe that Iran's Operation True Promise has changed the military equation in the region, and Israel can no longer strike other countries without expecting a response. But the question is, will Israel learn its lesson and heed the warnings of the international community to de-escalate the tensions? We'll discuss that in tonight's Spotlight with our guests. Journalist and writer Sakina Datu joining us from the British capital, London. And also joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, we have journalist and political analyst Ms. Julia Kassem.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Well, welcome to the program, to the both of you. Let's start off with Ms. Datu in London. In your opinion, how successful was Iran's Operation True Promise that was carried out against the Israeli regime? And with that, the failure for the Israelis, which can no longer boast their military superiority, and that goes for the U.S. as well, which could not fully protect Israel.
I think it was hugely successful. I think it wasn't just the fact that Iran was able to strike for the first time a country like Israel for with 300 drones and missiles, and this is a country that everybody thought was not touchable, that they were invincible. Nobody could, they had the Iron Dome, which protected them, and nobody was able to touch them. Of course, Iran proved that this was not correct. But it wasn't just that act in itself. I think the whole process of how this was planned by Iran was absolutely amazing and successful. I mean, the whole, 10 days before that, playing cat and mouse and hyping up, putting Israel into, an atmosphere of fear, what they have been doing to Palestinians for the past 6 months, experiencing that, not knowing what was coming, and then, of course, giving the notice that they were going to fire these missiles, and the rush by Israel and its all its allies around the world coming together to try and protect Israel. I think Iran played an excellent hand, and they are being looked upon, not only here in London and in the rest of the capitals, with a different eye since this has happened, but around the world. I think people are looking up to Iran in a way that was not possible before.
Ms. Julia Kassem in Beirut, the commander of the Iranian Army's ground force, Brigadier General Qumar Seydari, he said the True Promise operation shifted equations in West Asia in favor of Iran. What kind of shifts is he talking about?
First, it was the immediate shift in the deterrence that was demonstrated by Iran as successfully being able to deter Israel and basically stop it in its tracks of having complete confidence or perceived confidence in initiating attacks against Iran and having the U.S. Back it in that objective. So Iran successfully deterred the Zionist entity. Two, there was the element of surprise. The U.S. and Zionist entity were in anticipation for 10 days, over 10 days, 13 days following the strikes on the embassy, not knowing exactly when, how, or where the Iranian response would be, which, you know, terrified it and put them on the edge. The third aspect was the strategy and the imbalance, the strategic imbalance that the that Iran was able to wage against the Zionist entity by draining 1.3 billion as the air defenses just ran, you know, wreaked havoc in trying to keep up with the hundreds of drones, junk drones, by the way, that Iran sent to keep those air defenses busy. You know, three or four layers worth of air defenses via the Jordanians, via the Americans, and the Zionist entity themselves. And finally, by, you know, sending out the actual missiles that hit the targets that of the two air bases at Nevatim, the Ramon air base, which hit their targets, as even the Zionist entity itself confirmed. And as Iranian generals have said, that exceeded the expectations of the IRGC in waging this retaliatory operation in response to Israel's attack on the embassy. So this Iranian counterattack was incredibly successful on all fronts. It was able to, like I said, deter Israel. It was able to inflict serious losses upon the Zionist entity, and it was able to really demonstrate the capabilities of the Islamic Republic in waging such successful strike using older stockpiles entirely. Right now, go ahead.
Ms. Dattu, talk to us about the hypocrisy of most of these Western countries that we're seeing, namely the U.S. and the U.K. They were quick to condemn Iran's retaliation, where no civilians were killed, no hospitals or schools were destroyed. And on the other hand, just about every crime imaginable has been committed against the people of Gaza for over 6 months now, but no condemnation for the Israelis over their genocidal rampage that continues as we speak.
You know, the hypocrisy of the West has become so starkly, you know, open and they're out there for anyone to see. It is sometimes embarrassing for us, you know, who are citizens now of these countries, because first of all, for the past 6 months, what we've been watching in Gaza, despite so many efforts to try and spin, you know, what has been going on and to try and confuse, they used to be, if I may say, in the past, they used to be very successful at spinning stories. You know, people here, for example, in the West used to believe them when they would spin around, you know, 99% of the media in the West is owned by Zionists. And therefore, that was the only story that people were hearing. However, first of all, starting with what happened in Gaza and the genocide, people have been watching, you know, footage coming out directly from Gaza. And this changed the equation straight away with how people were viewing things. And then, of course, you know, what happened with Iran. The image of Iran that has been spread, not just here in the West, because the Western media is consumed hugely around the world, not just in the West. So they were very successful in portraying Iran as a very soft target. Iran wasn't very capable. Stories such as those of Mahsa Amini and talking about Iran, you know, not having women's rights. So they put a lot of spin in showing Iran as a country that was not serious, as a country that was not strong. And I think following 6 months of oppression happening in Gaza, people were hurting. People around the world are crying every day about what is happening. They were looking for somebody to come to the aid of people in Gaza, and Iran showed the way, because I think before Iran you know, launched the drones, there was a condition that if the genocide stops in Palestine, there would be no retaliation. So everybody has seen around the world that the only country that has really stood up for the oppressed has been Iran. And then the capability that was, you know, showcased It has changed a lot of things. And now the hypocrisy is not working. They are still trying to spin stories over the year, but I think there are memes going on around the world and people have made a joke. The story, for example, that has come out yesterday about the fact that there were attacks in Iran and they cannot show any footage for it. This has become a joke worldwide. People are, you know, messaging each other. People are in social media making all these memes to make fun of these Western leaders. And Israel has completely lost, I think, face around the world.
Ms. Qasem, how do you see the massive global support for Iran's retaliatory operation, the support that Iran received for basically shattering Israel's myth of invincibility, minus the U.S. and other accomplices of Israelis? Almost all regional countries have expressed support for what Iran carried out.
Yeah, so as the image of the Zionist entity has really plummeted and shattered in light of its genocide over the past 6 months, in the aftermath of Iran's retaliatory strike, it was obvious that there was a lot of public reception that viewed the Islamic Republic's action very positively, mainly for two reasons. One is that Iran acted within the complete bounds of international law, aside from the fact that it is internationally enshrined right to respond in the first place to the attack on its diplomatic facility. It responded just within the bounds of international law, and it was able to launch all of these drones and missiles, you know, hit their targets appropriately, exceed the military equation that they set out for, without even having to go into, you know, battle full on, without, you know, killing any civilians, and without inflicting any damage on non-combatant locations. So people noticed that this really heightened the contradictory hypocrisy that Israel and its Western backers keep on saying when they try to justify the mass civilian deaths as, you know, collateral damage from quote-unquote targeting Hamas. So this exposed their hypocrisy while showing a diplomatic, ethical way of reaching some kind of military objective. And two, people definitely saw it first and foremost as a action done in support of the Palestinian people. Even before Iran struck, it even was able, you know, even was willing to give up, you know, its right to respond in exchange for a permanent ceasefire. But even in the aftermath, Iran was basically aimed to use counterattack and also the threat of a stronger one should Israel strike again as leverage to support the Palestinian people and as leverage to stop this genocide. Of course, the U.S. on Israel's behalf is trying to, in the event of quieting down any kind of potential for another stronger Iranian response, begged Iran to allow Israel to do a quote-unquote symbolic strike, which is what we saw with the quadricopter floating over Esfahan via internal agents from the MEK. But, of course, you know, this effort essentially will fit. You know, and sure, in exchange for that, this was also wanted to continue the genocide in Rafah that it opposed before, you know, the invasion. So Iran also, you know, had its diplomatic higher ground was, and as well as its moral higher ground, was exceptionally clear in this context of both its leverage that it was able to and aimed to kind of impose, as well as the ethics that it adhered to in the face of a very unethical enemy.
Ms. Datu, let's focus on the U.S. response now to Iran's retaliation. Washington warned Israel not to act against Iran. And if the Israelis did act, they would be on their own and the U.S. would not support them. That seems quite different from the usual U.S. Threats and rhetoric against Iran. We remember the infamous all options on the table threat that the U.S. would basically throw around on a weekly basis. What has changed now? Is the U.S. even now realizing that attacking Iran is out of the question?
Well,
I would take that with a pinch of salt. I think, you know, the support of American support for Israel is really deeply, you know, intertwined. So I wouldn't say that they wouldn't support them going forward and that they have completely ruled out attacking Iran anytime. What is happening right now, all these statements that you hear are geared towards the elections that are coming up this year. This is the same in the US and also in the UK. What has really happened is that the masses in these Western countries have really shown support for Palestine and completely, you know, the dynamics have changed completely. We've been looking at processions happening at the moment in U.S. everywhere, in New York, and, you know, sit-ins that are happening. And with the elections coming up, I mean, Biden is very, very nervous that if he continues to show war-mongering, you know, continue to, and if at all they were to support Israel to make an attack on Iran, and therefore escalation going into possibly a third, you know, World War III, he would never win this election. And I think, therefore, this is just politicking for now. On the other hand, they've also lost a lot of moral ground around the world. I think this is a time when they probably want to pull back and try to, you know, regroup themselves, because around the world they've got no support. We saw what happened at the UN Security Council, you know, when the vote for a Palestinian state was being held. 12 countries were in support of that. It was only the UK and Switzerland that abstained, and of course America, as usual, vetoed. But you, I mean, the it is very obvious around the world that now there is a huge shift. All the countries, you know, some countries in Africa, in Arab countries, they wanted to sign this in Arab countries, Abrahamic Accord before, and in Africa, a lot of countries were already compromised because of investment from Israel going into Africa, and therefore were supporting. But following what has now happened, first of all, the ongoing genocide, but also the Iranian attack, the world has once again changed completely and shifted away from Israel. And America is aware of this. They are looking very isolated. And I think, you know, politics and global view and what, you know, the image that has been portrayed, these are the reasons why America is using these kind of statements. I mean, I would not put it beyond them going forward after the elections to consider warmongering again, because this is what they survive on.
Ms. Qasem, Israel has been a menace to all countries around it, like Lebanon and Syria, where Israel constantly violates their sovereignty and carries out illegal strikes on a regular basis. But Iran has said that, quote, the era of Israeli hit and run is over. Has Iran now set a precedent, in your opinion, where these countries will now respond to Israeli attacks and the Israeli regime's destabilizing actions?
Absolutely. I mean, we've already seen the resistance, you know, across the Lebanese Hezbollah front, across the Ansar Allah front, across the Iraqi resistance front, you know, constantly strike at the Zionist entity over the past 180, 190 plus days. But right now, what we see is a counterattack waged by Iran that really stops the impunity of the Zionist entity in its tracks. One, the Zionist entity is definitely going to reconsider its perspective that it could just wage any kind of act of aggression and just thinks that the whole world will be able to follow along. That's been shattered. You know, the perception of unconditional support, not necessarily due to any kind of moral means by the Western powers, as Israel is essentially an extension of their objectives and policies, but of the extent of its arrogance that have clouded its own judgment, that the West is realizing is really just backfiring on it. So this is in addition to the second dimension, which is the demonstrated capabilities of Iran in just one retaliatory strike alone, which also has Zionist entity second-guessing itself. So in those respects, yeah, we can definitely say that that this has changed the equation in terms of deterrence, as we were saying earlier, in terms of capabilities of the Zionist entity versus Iran's, especially after the symbolic strike, quote-unquote, that Israel tried to use with the mini quadrocopters yesterday. But right now, definitely in terms of putting a stop to the, just the rogueness of the Zionist entity whenever either wants to pull the U.S. into a further escalation and draw the resistance powers into its trap, or if it just wants to achieve its aims without any regards to battlefields or any conventions on the rules of war. So, you know, the Qasem Soleimani, the assassination of Pasha Qasem Soleimani in 2020 was just an example of its hit-and-run style. The attack on the embassy just a few weeks before, a couple weeks almost before the retaliatory attack by Iran. So, yes, this has really also been a turning point in the Zionist entity's hit-and-run, attacks sure. that it has constantly waged.
Ms. Datu, we've been talking about Operation True Promise changing a lot of equations in the region. Can Iran's retaliation impact Israel's genocidal war on Gaza? Because at the end of the day, the main objective right now for regional countries is to stop the genocide in Gaza and see an immediate ceasefire.
I think, you know, it will end the genocide in Gaza, but it's probably going to take a bit more time, because I think, you know, at the moment, Israel is feeling very bruised, and they have to show not just to their people, but to the world, that they are achieving something. Now, obviously, you know, they have failed on every front, but they need to keep some sort of, a face to show that they are winning. And therefore, I fear that, because of that feeling of being a wounded animal, they might even go further and attack into Rafah. And this can be catastrophic, as we know, for Palestine. So I would like to be hopeful, but I don't think that, again, Netanyahu, as we know, he's looking for survival. If the war ends right now, he's wanted for corruption charges, and therefore his career is over. And he wants to prolong this war. Of course, his initial plan was to try and escalate by trying to hit countries like Iran, and now he's been slapped, and he knows that he can't go that route. So the only people he can continue to oppress are the oppressed people of Palestine, who do not have any kind of weapons on their own. They cannot defend themselves, and the resistance, of course, is assisting, but I do fear that we might see a worse situation before it gets better. But this is like coming to an end of the Zionists. You know, there is just so much they can do at the end of the day. Every sign shows of a country that is collapsing. People are leaving. The settlers who have been coming in, we're seeing in drones, people are leaving. The idea that Israel at one point used to be a safe haven for Jews, that has been shattered. So I think it's on its last legs. But before it goes out, there is a lot more damage I think it will do before it goes down.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Thanks to my guests for tonight's program, journalist and writer Sakina Datu, joining us from the British capital, London. And thanks to journalist and political analyst Julia Qasem, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. And a special thanks to you for staying with us on tonight's Spotlight. It's good night for now.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll discuss some of the contents of chapter Naml, the 27th chapter of the Holy Quran, as well as some of the commentary points of the verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 16th verse of chapter Naml.
وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُودَ وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عُلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ وَأُوْتِيْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينُ.
And Solomon inherited David. He said, O people, we have been taught the language of birds, and we have been given from all things. Indeed, this is evident bounty.
So, as you listen to the verse, dear listeners, you must know that there has been recorded a tradition in some different books of Sunnis from the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, which denotes, we prophets do not leave any heritage, and whatever we leave must be used as alms in the way of Allah. So, this is one of the traditions that we have from the Prophet of Islam. So, the verse that you listen to said, وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُودُ وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عُلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ. And Solomon inherited David, and he said, O people, we have been taught the language of the birds. وَأُوتِينَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينُ. We have been granted of everything, and verily, this is the manifest favor. Now, sometimes this very tradition has been cited in another form, that its first sentence is omitted like this, whatever we leave must be used as alms in the way of Allah. Now, the document of this tradition in those books is often ended to Abu Bakr, who took the reign of Muslims' affairs after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when Lady Fatima alayha salam, or when some other wives of the Prophet demanded Abu Bakr their inheritance, relying upon this narration, they could not achieve any kind of inheritance. Now, this tradition is also recorded by Muslim in his Sahih, by Bukhari, and by some others who have also recorded this in their own books. Now, the point is that it is worthy to know that in the later document that we mentioned, through a tradition narrated by Aisha, we read that the tradition is like this, that after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Fatima and Abbas came to Abu Bakr, demanded their heritage, and at that time they demanded their land in Fadak, and their share remained from Khaybar. And Abu Bakr said, I heard the Messenger of Allah who said, we do not leave any heritage, and whatever we leave is alms. When Lady Fatima heard this statement, she left Abu Bakr and she never spoke with him. And this tradition, of course, from different dimensions, is objectionable. So this is the tradition. Now, This tradition, when you look at it, from different perspectives, from different dimensions, is objectionable and can be investigated. But the point is that what can be said, in short, is the fact that this tradition is not consistent with the verses of the text of the Holy Quran. And according to the laws and principles we have, every tradition which does not adapt to the Book of Allah is invalid. It cannot be taken for granted. And it cannot be taken as the tradition originated from the Prophet ﷺ or even other immaculate Imams. So in this very verse that we mentioned, we read that Solomon inherits David, and the apparent of the verse is general, and it concludes properties too. We will continue our discussion after a short break.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
حفظ الكتاب بصدره فبدا وضيئا كالنجوم تألقا وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So, as we said, the literal translation of the verse under discussion suggests that we prophets do not leave anything as heritage, and we read a tradition. But this tradition was not consistent with the verses of the text of the Holy Quran. And we read in this very verse that Solomon did inherit from David, and the apparent of the verse is general. It is not to be limited. So concerning Yahya and Zechariah, we also read in the Holy Quran, "One that shall be my inheritor and the inheritor of the posterity of Jacob." So, especially in respect to Zechariah, many commentators have emphasized on financial aspects. And moreover, the apparent of the verses about inheritance in the Holy Quran is general. Somehow, we can claim that it envelops all. Maybe it was for the same reason that Qurtubi, the famous commentator, had to take the tradition as the strong verb and the most, not as a general one. He has said that this is like the sentence that Arabs say, "We, community of Arabs, are the most hospitable ones among people," while it is not a general ordinance. So, but we can say that it is clear that this statement nullifies the value of this tradition, because if we take this excuse for the case of Solomon and Yahya, other aspects that are concluded are not certain either. Now, there are other points to be discussed regarding this very matter that shall remain for the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, By all the lies and treachery, life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Chanting anti-Israel slogans and carrying placards with messages thanking the IRGC for conducting Operation True Promise. Thousands of Iranians marched down the streets in major cities across the country after the Friday prayers to voice their support for the armed forces and a recent punitive military operation carried out against Israel, dubbed Operation True Promise. The retaliatory attack was in response to Israel's deadly attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria on April the 1st, resulting in the martyrdom of top IRGC commander, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, and six other military officers. The punitive retaliatory attack involved a slew of drones and missiles targeting and causing damage to Israeli military bases.
There was a time when they could attack us and get away with it. But now the IRGC has proven that those days are over. I'm so proud of them.
We've been waiting for this moment for so long, ever since they assassinated Haj Qasem. I'm so grateful to our armed forces.
The IRGC really made all Iranians proud. We are so happy. That is why I'm here to thank them.
I was so happy on the night of the attack that I came out in the street to celebrate that the Israelis finally got what they have deserved after committing so many crimes.
The demonstrators also used the opportunity to denounce Israel's genocidal war in Gaza and its crimes against Palestinians.
We are here for the people of Gaza. I don't think any human being can watch what's happening and be indifferent.
Defending the oppressed is our duty. That is why I always take part in these demonstrations.
In cities all across Iran, people took part in mass demonstrations to show their support for the IRGC and Operation True Promise. Gisumisha Ahmadi, Tehran.
Instead of beating the drums of war, it is the delicate taps of instruments such as the dulcimer or the santur in Persian and the harmonious melodies of different tongues that should be wafting across borders. As Iran celebrates its National Culture Week in South Africa, officials and the public have visited exhibitions in the key cities of Johannesburg, Pretoria and Cape Town to learn more about the Persian heritage. The event was held at the Castle of Good Hope in Cape Town, which was a Dutch colonial fort and is now a museum.
Culture is a very powerful construct because it forces people to communicate, not only through language, because I can't speak the Iranian language, they can't speak Afrikaans, which is my mother tongue, but through our handiwork, through our art, through our crafts that we do, we can connect as human beings and exchange ideas, because culture is not devoid of power and of politics.
And this view is shared by South African officials and even within the Organization of Developing Economies, BRICS Plus, which Iran joined at the beginning of 2024.
But I'm looking forward to us coming out with a university of some sort. And that university is going to be a technology-driven university that has got culture imbued in it. Because we cannot just be driven by, you know, gadgets and technologies. We have to put our humanity within this technology. If we can do that, I believe that we can go very far as a people.
South Africa and Iran have extensive relations, and so through expanding this exchange of unique arts and crafts, they can effectively use the skills of their respective peoples to develop economic ties and, within the framework of BRICS Plus, shape a new world which breaks away from the current system. Culture is important now more than ever, as it fosters understanding and can develop closer relationships between different peoples. In a world overwhelmed with conflict, exhibitions such as these are important for peace. Hassan Siria, Cape Town.
It took the Turkish president more than 3 days to come up with a statement on Iran's retaliatory attack on Israel. Erdogan blamed Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for trying to spread conflicts and create tensions in the region through provocations. He added that those who did not voice their rejection of Israel's aggression on Gaza for several months are today condemning Iran's response.
İsrail'in uluslararası hukuku.
The main one responsible for the tension that gripped our hearts on the evening of April 13 is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his bloody administration. Israel is trying to provoke a regional conflict, and its attack on Iran's embassy in Damascus was the last drop.
Turkish government was criticized by the opposition for its silent position from regional tension. Deputy chair of Republican People's Party Erhan Özgel said he was astonished not to see a single reaction or statement by Erdogan's cabinet or his ministers after the attack.
Amid such an important development in our region and a military assault launched directly by another state targeting Israel for the first time since the October War in 1973, amid such an escalation and such great tension in the region, we're astonished to observe that not a single official, especially the Minister of Foreign Affairs, has made any comment on this issue.
Meanwhile, an opposition parliament member slammed the AK ruling party's double standard, saying they pray for the children of Gaza on one hand while selling the fuel that is used to bomb those children on the other.
Can you imagine this hypocrisy? On the one hand, they're praying for the children of Gaza, and on the other hand, selling fuel to Israeli jets. You say Al-Quds is your red line. You're sending terrorism to Quds. You have Gaza children in one hand and the green dollars on the other hand. Shame on you.
Turkey holds significant importance in the region, and every development has an impact on Turkey politically and economically. Therefore, as experts say, the only way Turkey's silence can be explained is by linking it to the economy. And it is also the reason why Ankara did not immediately cut trade ties with Israel, and it merely severed diplomatic relations. Many believe a country like Turkey and a leadership like the Justice and Development Party were expected to not only defend Iran, but also stand by its Muslim neighbor against Israel.
Turkey had been silent about this issue, but as of yesterday, support came from President Erdogan, blaming Israel and supporting Iran. This was very important and provided a clear and good response. True, Turkey has economic relations with Israel, but if Turkey wants to develop and enhance its relations with Eastern countries, such as Iran, Iraq, Azerbaijan, and even Syria, it can reach a good place regionally. While Turkey has economic relations with Israel, its relationship with Iran goes much further. Therefore, Turkey should definitely stand by Iran in this matter.
Many believe it is time for Turkey to choose where to stand, rather than trying to verbally support the resistance and continue to press ahead with its Western and Israeli collaborations. Erdogan's comments on Iran's retaliatory attacks came late, just like the decision to cut a trade with Israel was late. It seems Ankara is walking a very thin line in its ties with Iran amid fears of harming economic relations with the Israeli regime. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
After days of anticipation, Iran unleashed a barrage of missiles and drones against Israeli targets in the occupied territories. The legitimate response came after Israel attacked Iran's consulate in Damascus on April 1st, violating all international laws and conventions.
Iran's response comes within the international laws, specifically Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, which gives Iran the legitimate right to defend its national security. The Iranian attack on Israel has changed the geopolitical map in the region, and it was a strong warning to the evil regime.
The Iraqi people, as well as resistance leaders, hailed the Islamic Republic for the unprecedented response, dubbed Operation True Promise, which was within the inherent right of self-defense that entitles any country to protect its diplomatic institutions. Iran's retaliation came after the UN Security Council failed to condemn Israel's attack, which killed 7 members of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps.
The resistance and the people of Iraq surely stand by the Islamic Republic of Iran amid the failure of international community and the UN Security Council to condemn the Israeli attack on the Damascus consulate. Iran had all the rights to defend itself and respond with proper means and timing.
The significant operation clearly shows that Iran will not hesitate to take action against any threat to its citizens and institutions. Now, with its capabilities and military evolution, Iran has significantly changed the rules of battlefield in modern times. Iran's retaliatory operation, which came after a long time of strategic patience in the face of Israeli's brutalities, shows that the Tel Aviv regime's days of hit and run are over. And Iran does not hesitate to exact a devastating revenge on its enemy, despite its all-out Western support. Muslim Salem, Baghdad.
Iran's retaliatory strikes on Israeli-occupied territories have drawn admiration and praise in Afghanistan from both the country's ruler, the Taliban, and the Afghan people. They said the reprisal strikes were completely legitimate, justifiable, and have expressed their support for Iran in the face of hostilities.
Long live and fingers crossed to the leader of Iran and to the brave nation and IRGC of Iran for their bravery in hitting the occupying Israel. They did this while many Muslims, like Saudi rulers, are indifferent to the cause and values of Muslim world. Praise Ansarullah of Yemen and Hezbollah and any nation who stands for the Islamic and human rights of Muslim people.
We are happy that Iran carried out the retaliatory strikes on Israel. Every Muslim should feel proud because the bully occupying Zionist regime came under fire. Look, Israeli forces have been oppressing our brothers and sisters in Palestine for decades. It's the time for all Muslim countries to unite and show the aggressors that we can and we have such capabilities.
The Taliban-run foreign ministry issued a statement on Sunday declaring Iran's recent attack on Israel as a legitimate defensive action. It added that Israeli genocide must be stopped in Gaza. Experts say the Afghan ruling authorities' support for Iran's reprisal actions and the Palestinian cause shows Muslims are now united against Israel, and hatred towards the Tel Aviv regime is now everywhere across the Muslim world.
Decades of Israeli occupation in Palestine and its atrocities have made all Muslims hate this regime and call for the regime to be crushed. Over the past few years, the attacks carried out by Hamas and Hezbollah shattered the Israeli regime's grandeur. Iran's strikes against Israel came amid Israel's devastating and deadly bombing campaign against Gaza.
The Afghan people also showed their anger with Israel for its war crimes in Gaza. They call for an immediate ceasefire in war-torn Gaza and demand that the international community help end the war and support Palestine in the face of Israeli invasion. Afghanistan stands firm beside brotherly Iranian nation. Palestinian cause is bringing the two neighbors even closer. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Thank you.
Described as an act of self-defense, the Yemenis regard the extensive missile and drone strikes carried out by Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps on the Israeli-occupied territories as a response to the Israeli regime's assault on Iran's consular building in the Syrian capital, Damascus.
We consider the Iranian strikes against the Israeli entity a legitimate attack and a response to the Israeli attacks that violated Iran's sovereignty by hitting its consulate in Syria. The Iranian attack is a legitimate move to punish Israel and is part of measures to stop the regime's ongoing crimes since October 7.
The public sentiment aligns with the official stance as locals overwhelmingly endorse the Iranian strikes, stating that the Israeli regime and its allies only understand the language of force.
The Iranian attack is supported not only by Yemenis but also by all free people in the world. The Iranian response sent the message that Iran's capability is real and that all it was seeking was to liberate Palestine and stop the crimes by the Zionist enemy. Today we are facing an exceptional operation because Iran had not carried out an operation of this scale since the end of the Iran-Iraq war. Iran has been characterized by patience and deliberation due to the way it deals with hostile states. This is the first time that Iran has carried out a military operation against its enemies from within Iranian territory. This attack was successful, came at the right time to put the Zionist enemy in its place, and proved that Iran is capable of blowing up Israel.
Over the past few years, Yemeni-Iranian relations have strengthened, especially during the U.S.-backed war on Yemen, initiated by the 2014 revolution. This military campaign aimed to restore a U.S.-aligned former government in Yemen.
People here believe that the recent Iranian attack against the occupied territories significantly impacts Western powers, demonstrating unity among the resistance forces in the region. They view the attack as the beginning of the end for the Israeli regime and its supporters. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Pro-Palestinians in France gathered the day after what was reported to be the first peaceful night in Gaza in 6 months. The reason? The night before, Iran launched a historic missile retaliation against Israel, which prevented Tel Aviv from continuing their attempt at genocide and ethnic cleansing. At the demonstration, there was widespread approval, support, and even gratitude and admiration for Tehran's counterattack against the unprecedented bombing assassination at an embassy.
I'm not an anti-Semite, and as a Muslim, I want us all to live together peacefully, but I see Iran's attack as something good on their part. Iran is the only major country which has had the courage to attack Israel and defend Palestine's innocent civilians. This war can easily stop if Israel can finally realize that they are attempting a genocide.
Those who are occupiers do not have the right to legitimate defense, but Iran does have the right, and they used it to defend Gaza as well. Israel bombs and assassinates people constantly. How can people forget about what Israel has done?
Protesters contrasted Iran's actions with those of the French foreign minister last week. After mentioning the possibility of placing sanctions on Israel over Gaza, he immediately backtracked the next day in front of Parliament.
The French government is quite the accomplice in the genocide that Israel is waging right now. Why aren't there any sanctions despite all these deaths? And when France talks so much about defending human rights, it's simply shameful.
French forces claim to have contributed to Israel's defense. In a major blow to perpetual Israeli hopes of escalating the violence, Washington has already refused to join any potential Israeli attack on Iran. It's uncertain if the cycle of Israeli assassination and Iranian retaliation is now concluded, but Israel has already returned to indiscriminate bombing and mass murder in Gaza, despite 6 months of global outrage, the murder of 34,000 Palestinians, and 76,000 injuries.
Will Israel pursue an even wider war? Will more Arab nations be inspired to join the cause of defending Gaza? What's certain is that many are happy that, for one night at least, the guns aimed at Gaza's civilians finally fell silent. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Pakistanis are showing staunch solidarity with the Iranian retaliatory strikes against the Israeli-occupied territories. Social media platforms overflow with messages of congratulations for Iran's effective response to Israel's atrocities, hailing Iran as a courageous champion of Muslim states willing to confront a Zionist regime, especially following months of atrocities against the Gaza Strip.
We are proud of Iran for taking a stand against Israel's aggression. The Palestinians have been suffering for decades, and it's time someone took action to protect them. Iran's attack shows that they won't tolerate the oppression any longer.
I fully support Iran's decision to strike back against Israel. The Palestinians have been living under siege for decades, and it's high time someone stood up for them. Iran's actions give hope to oppressed people everywhere.
The Pakistani government has echoed both the sentiments of its citizens and voiced grave concerns over escalation of tensions in the Middle East. Islamabad underscored the Israeli blockade of Gaza as a significant factor contributing to the recent wave of tensions, emphasizing the urgent need for international intervention to prevent further escalations in the region.
Iran has done the right thing legally and morally, because Iran has retaliated against Israeli unwarranted aggression and attack on Iranian diplomatic installation in Damascus. And that was a violation of UN Charter and international law. So what Iran has done is the right thing. They have responded in kind, and they have taken the battle to the aggressor, and they have hit Israel.
The people of Pakistan emphasize the urgent need for global intervention to halt the escalation of conflict in the region and call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
Iran's attack on Israeli-occupied territories has garnered widespread support from Pakistanis, particularly due to their perceived alignment with the plight of people in Gaza. The warm reception of Tehran's operation by the Pakistani nation highlights its desire for a more assertive response to Israel's ongoing atrocities against Palestinians. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the optical illusions of the world. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are here on A2Z talking about Islamic lifestyle, and what an honor it truly is. So we're talking about the optical illusions of this world and the optical illusions of life. So if you know what an optical illusion is, it is like something that is there, but when you look at it, it looks different. So, for example, I know it's kind of a conceptual thing that I've started to talk about, and I kind of, you know, try to prevent from going into the conceptual field, because in the, you know, anyways. So what we're talking about here is, so some, they have these images, right? And that images, for example, it looks like that image is moving. So that's the optical illusion. Or, for example, you know, something that is very common and a lot of people know is in the desert. In the desert, you will see something which is called a mirage. This mirage, because the heat is kind of emanating from the earth, that creates these heat waves, which when you look from afar, it looks like water. And that's that mirage which they're talking about. It looks like water, and when the guy who's, you know, dying of thirst reaches the mirage, well, there's no water. And so this is also an optical illusion. Now, we're talking about the optical illusions of our life, or we're talking about the optical illusions of the world. It's interesting that this materialistic realm, the material arena of the cosmos, and the material dimension of the world is overall, it is an optical illusion. It is a mirage, because it is something, first and foremost, which is temporary. It will not last. It is not eternal. It is not immortal. A matter of fact, it passes by so quickly and it finishes and it betrays an individual. Wealth will not stay with you. The worldly love that you believe in will not stay with you. All of this will leave. And matter of fact, you